Hello, I'm Rob Lefferts. I'm the Director of Program Management for the Enterprise and Security Group inside of Windows, and I'm here today to talk to you about Windows 10 for the Enterprise, to highlight a bunch of the capabilities that we brought, and I'll actually show a few of the demos as we go through this. The first thing that I'd like to say is that I'm very excited about Windows 10. The whole team is really delighted with what we've been able to build and deliver for our customers, and we've seen that kind of uptake from users, from the press, and from analysts. And so here, just thinking about the number of devices that are already running Windows just since we launched it last July, we have 200 million devices running Windows 10. And of those, 22 million are what we would call business and education devices, where professional users are using them every day to get their work done, to get their job done, to deliver the work and assignments that matter most to them. In addition, you can see some of the enthusiasm that we've seen from the press. We're across the board. People really love the capabilities, the experience, and the end-to-end story that comes with Windows 10. So now let's go ahead and dive into what does it really mean about Windows 10? What are the promises that we bring to the table? And there's four core pillars we're going to go through in detail today. We'll start off talking about the users. And we'll come back to talk about security and management, but we really want to lead with this notion that what Windows is doing is helping making sure the employees and students and members of your organization are absolutely having the best possible experience and being as productive and effective as they can possibly be. So we'll start off talking about what that productivity looks like and talk a bit about the kinds of devices they can use and then get into the nitty-gritty details of, well, how does Windows 10 help make people be more secure as they compute, and how does Windows 10 provide better management and support for continuous innovation across the organization. Again, let's start off talking about how users can be more productive. And the first thing here is that Windows 10 is really designed to give users a tailored experience for the way that they are getting their work done. I actually use a Surface Book every day, and I love this device because it has so many different modes in which I can interact with it. I can use it in a meeting, I can use it at my desk, and I can use it at home on the couch. I can rip the keyboard off, and I can sit and review documents directly from the couch. That's the kind of personalized experience that makes me productive. I'd actually like to take a moment now to introduce Brad McCabe, who is from our marketing organization, who will show you a demo of some of the great ways that Continuum provides that kind of user experience.
So thanks, Rob. So I wanted to dive in today for the first demo that we're going to take a look at, and I wanted to show you Continuum for Phone. Now, Continuum is a great experience that we introduced when we launched Windows 10 to allow you to take your devices, whether it's a Surface Book, a Surface Pro, or any one of the great OEM devices, and use them as a laptop, but then when you, say, fold the keyboard away or detach the screen, to have that device become a very good functional tablet as well. Now, also with Windows 10, as we've looked at the phone, we've also thought about how we could take Continuum to the phone. And so here I've got my phone. In this case, I've got a Lumia 950. And I've got my phone, and I've already actually tethered it up to my dock right here. So you can see I've got my dock hooked up, and I've got my Bluetooth keyboard and my mouse hooked up to it. And I've plugged it in, and you can actually see right here behind me, it's projecting up onto my screen. I can reach down, I can use my mouse if I want to drive around on this device. So even though you're seeing it here on the screen, it's coming right from my phone as my device. And so I've got a lot of different apps here. You see I can click on the start menu. All the apps that I have for my phone are available for me right here. I could move around through here. I could launch something, for example, my mail. I could take and look through my mail. Here I've got an email from Britta, and you can see she sent me an attachment here. So just like I do on my PC, I can double click on it, and you see here I get Excel. And even though it's running on my phone, because my phone is plugged in, docked to a full screen, it has that full screen real estate, feels exactly like Excel on my desktop. And the reason for that is because universal apps adjust to those screens that they're running on. This is the exact same Excel that I could be running on my Surface Book that I've got here on the desk. In this case, it's running on my phone. You see, I've got all of my function here. If I want, I've got this chart here. I could go ahead and click auto sum. You see immediately my column sum, my chart fills in. All of this happening right on the phone itself. If I want to close it out, I go up here to the upper right corner with my mouse, just like I do on my desktop. I can close it out. If I wanted to run something like Word, you can see I've got Word running here. Just like Excel, it's got the full fidelity of Word because it is the same Word that I could be running on my desktop or on my tablet. And so I can do all those different actions that I'm used to. Now, Continuum for Phone is a great feature, but a lot of folks want to take, and they still have a lot of existing line of business applications that they want to be able to take advantage of. I can do that still right here on my phone. So you can see I can come in here and I've got some apps set up with remote desktop. And you can see I've just got a couple of demo apps out here. One of these is a little CAD program I've got running. And you can see from my phone, we go out, we can connect up to that app. And here is my app. And I can work on this. Even though I'm on my phone, I can still do all the things that I would want to do. So I've got this drawing here. I could start to run the drawing. You can see the arm moving around. I can flip, view it from different angles. Maybe I want to look at it from underneath, look at the drawing from above. All of this is happening right here, all being driven by me with my phone, and in this case with remote app to run that existing line of business application. So you can see how Continuum for Phone makes such a great experience. The device that I have is in a lot of cases the best device for me to work on. So in this example, I could start here, I could be out in the world, I could be using my phone. Maybe I want to use Word or Excel to do some things on the go. I get back to my desk. In this case, I plug it in. I could also do this wirelessly, and I can function just like I do with my mouse and keyboard on my PC. So that was a very quick look at Continuum for the phone. I'll toss it back to you now, Rob. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad. One of the things that you may have noticed there was that there's a lot of different ways that users can interact with their Windows 10 devices. It's not just about mouse and keyboard, it's about pen and ink, it's about touch, it's about voice, and it's about really making sure that it is natural for people to move from one mode to the other. And so this notion that I love it because I can interact with it in the way that is most comfortable, we really want to bring that home. In fact, most of the time I find with my Surface Book when I'm in a meeting, it makes the people around me more comfortable if I'm taking notes with a pen and ink. They seem to get this sense of confidence that, oh yeah, I'm actually listening to them. I'm not just sitting back there and hammering on email through the entire meeting. And it actually helps me remember the parts of the conversation because I take the time to write it out in ink. And we can actually flip it around and use it to sketch things. And that's the kind of productivity that we're bringing to bear. On top of that, we want to make sure that people can move across multiple devices and always have what they need. And this is where Windows 10 really shines with this power of being present on a bunch of different form factors and having great roaming as you move from one device to the next. So as I start on my phone and I continue working on my laptop and I move to my desktop, Active Directory, user state roaming really makes sure that the experience is seamless. But also I actually have the same applications running on all those devices. So I'm able to use OneNote and Wunderlist and Flipboard on my phone and on my laptop and on my desktop. And it's really wonderful for me to have the data and the experience be consistent in that way. And finally, Windows 10 provides intelligent assistance to make sure that the computer is actually reaching out proactively to help me. And so this is where Cortana really comes to bear to make sure that it's keeping me up to date on what's going on in my calendar, what's going on with my commute, or in fact, what are the things that I might want to know about that are new and exciting in the news environment. And I can use it to, again, help take notes, help search for information. I can use it with my voice. And this kind of personalized assistant that's always looking out for me is one of the great ways that Windows 10 helps me every day. In addition to those great software experiences, we're making sure that Windows 10 brings some of the best possible hardware device experiences and that we're really innovating in what it means to have next generation devices. The first thing to start off with is that you can get started with Windows 10 using your Windows 7 device. We've worked super hard to make sure we have great in-place upgrade and support for hardware capability. So your Windows 7 PC today is a great place to start running Windows 10. Of course, it won't magically turn it into a pen and ink or a touch device if you don't have that, but it will keep working forward as a great computing experience. The second thing is that we've made sure that Windows 10 is a great platform for industries to build end-to-end solutions that work for those devices. So one of the interesting things is Windows 10 as the kernel or core of Internet of Things devices. In addition, working with companies so they can control the UX that they actually deliver, turning things on or off for their employees, or configuring Windows 10 to run in a great kiosk scenario, for example. And finally, delivering solutions with partners where they can have ruggedized devices that'll work great on a football field or work great out on an oil rig, where you'll know that if I drop or clunk the device down, it'll actually keep running because it's really built to take that kind of abuse and stand up to that kind of industrial usage. Part of the joy of Windows 10 is that we've been able to innovate in our own first-party solutions. I already mentioned how I love my Surface Book. But in fact, we've been able to have this conversation with partners across the ecosystem around what is possible and really tee off this notion of, what would a two-in-one device look like and how could people interact with that, and then have that take that idea forward, run with it, and come up with all kinds of new ideas around what those compute experiences will look like and deliver a full ecosystem partnered with Microsoft. And then finally, that's just the start. We really foresee a world where we will reimagine the ways that people can interact with their devices. A couple great examples are the HoloLens as 3D holograms as a way for interacting with my virtual world, or one that I actually use every day is Surface Hub, where I can walk into a meeting room, I can touch the screen to log on, I can start the meeting right away and connect with people over Skype. We have a shared whiteboard. It makes it super easy to project. The cameras are set up correctly. And that's the kind of seamless experience that really makes a great telepresence meeting run very, very smoothly. But it's also super rich for the people who are physically in the room to be able to interact with the Surface Hub that way. And that's the kind of innovative device experience that we will keep working forward and deliver more and more of going forward. So it was great to see all the ways in which Windows 10 is making users more productive and providing innovative devices. But the fact of the matter is that we need to make sure that we can deliver Windows 10 to them inside of the organization in a secure and effective way. So let's start talking about some of the things that are near and dear to my heart. For example, how can we make sure that the compute experience is totally secure? And we'll walk through some of the pillars we've got in place around keeping the user's identity secure, making sure that the device is secure, and helping keep the data for the organization secure. First, we can all agree that passwords are a necessary evil we've grown up with, but not the best and most secure way for users to identify themselves. And when we think about the user's identity, we really want to make sure that we're managing that critical piece of information in the most secure possible way. And so we've been working hard on a set of innovations that will help people replace passwords with more secure kinds of credentials. But this is actually one of my favorite things, because it's not just about making it more secure. We've done it in a way to say, let's actually have a better user experience and make sure people enjoy working with the device. And so on my Surface Book, I walk into a meeting, I open it up, and it actually uses Windows Hello to recognize my face, log me in, and I'm typing right away. And I, as a user, am delighted. I, as an IT tech guy, am also very happy to know that, well, in fact, I am now protected against a wide range of phishing attacks, and it'll be hard for people to grab my password because I'm just not typing it in as much. And we're taking advantage of Microsoft Passport on the back end to make sure that we pass credentials around to services in a secure way. And so this is a really great innovation that is sort of a win-win on both of the IT and user side. I think of this as a hallmark of the kind of thing that Windows 10 wants to deliver going forward. So we've talked a bunch about how we want to make sure users are more productive and have the best possible innovative compute experience. But we, as IT, know that we also have to provide a great environment for them to work inside of. And we have to make sure that it is secure and safe and effective. And so let's start the conversation with talking about how Windows 10 works to ensure success and security for users' identity, the experience they're having on the device, and the data that they're working with. The first of those is, let's talk about passwords. I think we can all agree that it was a necessary evil of the past for users to go around typing in passwords on every single dialogue that ever popped up or showed up on a web page, but it's actually not great from a security stance or perspective. It makes them very vulnerable to a set of phishing attacks. And so we've worked hard both at the protocol level as well as at the user experience level to make sure that they don't have to do that as much. And we've done it in such a way that it's not just about being more secure, it's actually about having a great user experience. So when I walk into a meeting with my Surface Book, I open it up, it actually recognizes my face, logs me in, and then has my credentials to be able to connect to the services that I need to use using standards like FIDO 2.0. So we've been working with the industry around how do we make this possible. And so with that, I'd actually like for Brad to show you another demo around the great experience users can have with Windows Hello.
Thanks so much, Rob. Now I wanted to take a chance to talk about one of my personal favorite features in Windows 10, and that's Windows Hello. When you take Microsoft Passport and Windows Hello and combine them together, you have some really great security with multiple factors of authentication, but you can combine it in such a way as to make it such a delightful experience for the end user. And this with security is really the holy grail. If you think about a lot of things in security, the harder we make them for our users to make them more secure, the more our users find ways around them. So with Hello, with Windows Hello and Microsoft Passport, we really worked to make sure it would be a lot easier for users to log in. Now, a question I get often is, but what if I don't have new hardware? There are things that you can do to take advantage of this functionality with PINs, for example, for your users. Also, if you have devices with fingerprint readers, you can use them for biometric sensors. Now, I have my Surface Book here, and this has an infrared camera set up. So whether it's bright, dark, doesn't matter, it can see my face. Because it's infrared, if someone wants to hold up a picture of me in front of the camera, it's extremely hard to spoof. Now you see on my machine here, it's set up, it's actively looking for me, and all I'm gonna do is step over in front of the camera and you'll see how quickly it recognizes me and logs me in. So if I step over here, you can see it sees me, it says hello, and immediately has me logged in and ready to go. Now, we'll take a look at that just one more time so you can see it since it's pretty quick. Here it is looking, the infrared camera is up. If I step in here and look, it says hello, and there I am. Never had to reach down, never had to touch the keyboard, but it recognized me and logged me in. I love Windows Hello every morning when I come in to my office. I sit my pack back down, and as soon as I go to sit down in my chair, just as I'm sitting down, it sees me and I'm logged in and ready to go as soon as I hit the chair, and away I can go. So that was a very quick look at Hello. We'll send it back over now to you, Rob.
Thanks, Brad. Under the covers, we've actually also engineered the infrastructure to ensure that we are managing those credentials in a secure way. And so if you're familiar with attacks like Pass the Hash, you know that attackers and hackers can get in there, they can invade your machine, they can grab memory from other applications, and they can actually dump out the encoded hashes of passwords that the user has used to connect to services or applications. We've done work inside of Windows going all the way down into the silicon, partnered with our hardware partners, to make sure that those credentials are actually stored in a secure way where those memory dump attacks just won't work anymore and you just can't get access to those credentials and then start using them to attack the rest of the network. So again, Brad, if you could show us a demo of what Credential Guard is all about.
So this time, I'd like to take a look and talk about Credential Guard. Now, Rob just talked about some of the challenges that we face with Pass the Hash, right? We can start out, we can use things like Windows Hello that we just looked at to try to make logins more secure, to try to get rid of passwords. But as long as passwords exist, users are still prone to phishing attacks and other attacks and losing those passwords. And as Rob talked about, once you can compromise one of those passwords and get on the machine, there are ways that you can take and gather all the information you need to start to learn about other accounts, other machines on the network, and move around the network itself. So what I've got here, you can see on my screen, I've got a Windows 7 machine up and running here, and I've downloaded a very popular tool that hackers like to use, and you can see I've gone ahead and I've got this ready to go, and I'll just run this one command here on this. And you'll see it dumps out a lot of information for me. But if I take and I scroll through here, you can see I get a lot of different information about a lot of accounts, but you'll start to notice I've got some demo accounts on here. So in this case, I've got my demo user. He is part of my domain, part of my Contoso domain. And you'll see his password is right here. I can actually gain access to that just by logging in under a different account and taking and running some tools and looking at the different information that comes back on my machine. And so now I can start to gather up information. I can see some other accounts here that are available for me. Lots of information that I have available for me to take and start navigating through here. Now, once I've got these credentials, I can move around the network to other Windows 7 machines that I can connect to. I can try to log on with different credentials, and I can slowly build up a huge library of these credentials until I have all of the keys that I need to do any type of damage or steal any information that I need. As Rob said, this is a very common step that we see in almost every one of these attacks and breaches that you read about in the news. Now, if I take and I come over here to my Windows 10 machine, you can see I've got the same tools there. You can see I've got the same commands I'm ready to issue, except on this machine, I've already enabled Credential Guard. And so what we've done is using Hyper-V technology, we've moved a lot of that credentialing service up into that Hyper-V environment to keep it safe and protect it. So now if I run that same command, you see I get a large amount of information just like I had before. But if we kind of start scrolling down through here, taking a look at some of this different information, you can see we've got some different users. And here we come in, and once again, you can see that my passwords are nulled out here. There's no password showing. As I start to come in, you can see once again my demo user, but you'll notice that everything is protected. I'm not able to get to those hashes or those passwords because I have Credential Guard running on this machine. So now with Windows 10, if a user comes in or a hacker comes in and they've been able to compromise a user identity, they're unable to get out to other users to move around and move laterally through your network. So as we start to build up these rings and these defenses in depth, we make it much, much harder with Windows 10 with all of these different technologies to move around and do malicious things on your network. Thank you very much. Back to you, Rob.
Thanks, Brad. We've talked about the user's identity. Let's move on and talk about their experience on the device. And one of the most important things that we can do here is really ensure that the software running on the machine is only the software that the organization intended. So this is really useful for scenarios when you think about kiosks or you think about health organizations that might want to make sure that stations that employees are using are locked down. We can ensure through Device Guard that only the right applications are actually being installed and run on the machine. And we can work with things like Trusted Boot to make sure that as the machine starts up, it is running full authorized Windows, and again, that the correct applications are the ones that you can really trust. So again, if you could show us what Trusted Boot and Device Guard look like, that would be great, Brad.
So thanks again, Rob. So we've looked at some of the ways we can protect identities and keep those parts of your network safe. But what happens if those get breached? What happens if a user does something, let's just say, not so smart, right? Maybe they get an email that redirects them to a malicious site. Maybe they get software from a friend, or they go out trying to find some software on the internet and try to download it. How do we protect against those? Or how do we protect if those other protections that we talked about are breached? And now, for example, the malicious hacker tries to drop malware down onto that machine. So I've got a machine here. The first machine we'll take a look at is a Windows 7 machine, and you'll see there's a couple of things going on here. First off, I've got on my right, you can see I've got my firewall settings, and I've got Windows Defender here up and running as my anti-malware. And on the left-hand side, you can see what I've done is I've got a website where a user has been redirected to a malicious site. And what I'm going to do, the site looks good, it looks like what the user was expecting. So they click the download button, and when they do that, they take and they go and they run the software because they think they're downloading and getting the software that they expect. So they'll say, wow, this is my Contoso expense app for my corporation, of course I trust it. But now when this runs, what this does is it actually has a piece of malware embedded inside of it. Since the user ran it and trusted it, you can see that this particular attack has already gone ahead and disabled the firewall settings. It's turned off my antivirus software as well. So the user went out, site looked good, they didn't realize it was a malicious site or a bad link that they got. They attempted to run the software. To them, unless they're looking at this, they don't even realize that their machine has now been compromised. Now, let me switch over here because I have another machine running down here with the exact same scenario, except this machine is running Windows 10, and this machine has Device Guard turned on and configured already. So you can see, once again, same thing on the right-hand side. Here's my firewall. Down the bottom on the right-hand side, you can see Windows Defender running as my AV. And on the left, it's the exact same website that we were just looking at. Now this time I'll go ahead and I'll click download now, and I'll run that same application. And this time it's going to come down, and when it runs, since this device has Device Guard enabled, you can see that the user gets a notification that this program was blocked by Device Guard because it violates the code integrity policies installed on this system. So the IT guy, in this case, all of you watching, can push out policies to determine what application should run, and everything else can be blocked. In this case, the code was unsigned by the corporate certificate, so Device Guard blocked it. So, and you can see here the user is notified of that. You can also see, since it never ran, the firewall is still up and running and protecting the machine. Antivirus, anti-malware is still there, up, running, and working as well. So you can see how we can layer these different Windows 10 technologies to protect the users, to protect their identity, and in this case, to protect the devices that they're working on from running malicious code. Thank you very much. Back to you, Rob.
Thanks, Brad. Let's close out the security conversation by talking about data. We've talked about identity, we've talked about the device itself. Now, one of the most important things is making sure that critical corporate assets aren't being leaked all over the internet. In fact, there's a whole industry around data loss prevention, which is just this idea of, boy, if we could just help users be more confident and secure in situations where they accidentally cut and paste information into the wrong place, like Facebook or Twitter, or where they more commonly forward an email off to somebody that they weren't meant to forward it off to. And so the conversation here is about making sure that the device itself, that Windows 10 actually has an awareness about what is the organization's data and what is the user's data, and can actually provide a great experience for the user in managing those and moving back and forth between those two worlds. One of the things that we've done here that we're very proud of is actually delivering that in a seamless way, in a frictionless way, such that users aren't constantly hung up about, oh, now I have to switch over to the enterprise isolated sandbox, and then I have to go back to my personal one. They can actually boot up Word, and they can work with two different documents, and the document itself will know, is it a corporate document or is it a personal document, and it will help the user do the right thing with that information. When the corporate assets get stored into the hard drive, they are actually encrypted. And as a matter of fact, if the employee leaves the organization, you can actually revoke access to that information even after they've left, because they won't be able to decrypt it and open it inside of Word anymore. This is enterprise data protection. This is coming later this year. It is already starting to roll out to Windows Insiders. And Brad, why don't you give us a look at what this actually looks like?
So now for our last security demo, I wanted to talk about protecting the data. We've looked at some of the other protections that we have. Now let's focus in on what happens with that data and how we protect it. Now, I know a lot of you that are watching have BitLocker enabled on the machines, and that's great for protecting the data when it's at rest on that hard drive. But what do we do? How do we protect data in this modern world where devices might not be corporate owned, where data is moving around? How do we think about that in that space? We've done a lot of thinking around that ourselves with Windows 10. And later on this year, we will introduce a feature that we call Enterprise Data Protection. And with Enterprise Data Protection, I have the ability to lock down and secure specific files. So you can see here, I've got my machine again, and I'll go ahead and I'll open up my folder here. And you can see I've got a lot of different files in here. You can see I've got this already over here in a list view. And so you can see I've got certain files for work that are protected here by my Microsoft corporate key. You can see I've also got side by side with them some personal files that are completely unencrypted for me as well. And if I wanted to change the view here and maybe look at this like some users do through an icon view, you can see I still get that same view, so I can understand what are corporate files and what are personal files. You'll see some of my personal files here, but then you'll see my corporate files have this little icon, this little badge on them for me. Now, a file that I want to take a look at is this Contoso electronic sales document that I have. And so if I go ahead and I bring that up here, you'll see that there's a lot of information here. This is a corporate document, so I want to have it protected. Not only was it badged, as you saw in File Explorer for the user, but you'll notice up here in the upper right-hand corner as well, the user understands that this is a protected corporate document. And so I can come in here, and this looks just like Word that I was using earlier, just like the Word that we used in the Continuum for Phone demo that you saw. But I've got all of my information here, and I work with this just like I would normally. Now, if I come in here and I look, I say, wow, this sounds really, really interesting here, right? You can see we've had this unprecedented increase in TV sales, 200% above initial estimates. So this is some amazing stuff here. And, you know, as a good corporate employee and good corporate citizen, I think everyone in the world should know about this, right? This is going to be amazing. And, you know, I know we've got PR and legal channels and such, but those guys take so long. I'm going to take this as an employee in the modern world, and I'm just going to use my Twitter account, and I'm going to blast this out here for people. So I'll go ahead and I'll take this, and you see I can do a copy. I'm going to come over here to Twitter. I've got my demo account all set up here with my fictitious persona here for this demo. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to paste and tweet this out to the world. And you'll see now, as soon as I go to paste this, we get what I like to refer to as the career limiting move dialog box. You see, it says, I'm about to remove this encryption from this document and move it to a location where it won't be encrypted. And as the user, I can make a choice. I can click cancel, and I can stay enrolled in my favorite program, the Paycheck Continuity Program, or I could click continue anyway and post this out. And hopefully one of my many Twitter followers here is Dan will feel pity on me for sharing this corporate information, maybe take a little mercy on me and hire me when I choose to do this. Now, if I push this out, you're going to wonder, well, obviously, if it's in Twitter, I can see it's in the internet and I know how it got leaked. But what if someone copies it to some other place? How will I know? All of that information can be saved to the event log, so you can report on it, you can look at it later, you can find things out. Another thing you might be wondering is, this is great. I give the user that ability to make a choice, and for some of my users, that might make sense. But others of my users, I absolutely don't want them to have this choice. You can control this with policy settings, with enterprise data protection, and you can determine if people see this dialog box, if they're outright blocked, or you could just allow them to copy it with no visual warning, but still log and audit it as well, so you have those types of records and reports. Now, you might also be wondering how a user can tell, besides files, how could they tell, well, maybe I shouldn't copy this to Twitter? When I hit start here, you'll notice that same badge. So you can see the applications that are taking advantage of enterprise data protection, where I can move company information around and to. And you can see some other apps out here that are unbadged as well, which those are not involved with enterprise data protection, such as Twitter, so I cannot move them over. So you can see here with enterprise data protection, I can really help the user do the right thing. I can help the user take and make sure that they're being thoughtful, make sure they're being protective with corporate data, while at the same time still protecting that corporate data. And if the user is doing this on a BYOD device where they've brought their own device in and they've got work data and corporate data, I can selectively wipe out that corporate data when they leave the company while leaving all of their photos and pictures and personal documents completely fine on that device. So this is going to be a great feature. I know a lot of you are probably very excited to try it out. You will see this coming very soon to the Windows Insider program. So if you're not already signed up as a Windows Insider, I encourage you to go out, sign up for it. And in the very near future, when we push enterprise data protection out there, you can take it, test it, and give us your feedback. So that's it for all the security demos we have. Now back to you, Rob.
That was great. Now let's talk a little bit about the network as a whole. We've talked about Windows 10 on the endpoint, but in a modern world, some of the most invasive hacks are actually coming in on the corporate network, invading one or two machines, and then spreading out laterally through the organization. And we have been working hard to build a new technology, a new set of capabilities that will help defend the corporate network against these kinds of attacks. Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection is actually this technology. It helps customers detect and remediate advanced attacks and data breaches. And the first thing that it comes with is an endpoint behavioral sensor that's actually watching what's going on the machine. And that actually provides a set of analytics that Microsoft can take advantage of in our cloud to analyze when are bad things happening. And we can have a set of always up-to-date intelligence around, is something negative or invasive happening on the machine? We back that up not only with a set of trained experts and advanced threat hunters, but we have a set of machine learning that is always staying up to date and being more and more modern about what are the set of attacks that are coming against a modern organization. And this set of technologies is built into Windows 10. Here's the set of capabilities and essential features that we provide around Windows Defender ATP. It's really the two core things we talked about around detecting attacks and providing threat intelligence, and then making sure that organizations know how to remediate. So we provide a comprehensive dashboard that allows people to investigate and respond to threats. It can see in one place what are the machines that are having weird behaviors, how are those extending to other machines, who are the users that are perhaps have their accounts have been taken over. And in addition to providing steps and guidance on how to remediate, it provides a safe and secure sandbox in the cloud where you can detonate files and URLs. So if I have found an executable that looks a little creepy and weird, I can actually take it outside of my network, I can take it up to the detonation environment inside of Defender ATP, and I can actually run it in this sandbox where it will provide a lot of telemetry about what did that executable do, so I can be confident on was it doing something inappropriate or aberrant, and that will help guide me in my next steps around how I will remediate that threat. Altogether, this is Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, and it is a new set of capabilities that we will be rolling out over the upcoming year and are just starting to introduce around to the Windows Insider program. We've talked about all the work that we've done to make sure that Windows 10 is a secure environment for your users to get their work done. In addition, we've done a lot of work to make sure that you can deliver Windows to them in an efficient and effective way. So we both want to make sure that Windows is up, that your users are experiencing great uptime and are at work and being productive, but we want to make sure that you as an organization have great total cost of ownership as you deploy and deliver Windows in that way. And so one of the first things we've done here is really take head on this problem of wipe and replace deployment, where organizations, every time an update comes out, they have to go build a new set of images from scratch, install all of their software, all their configuration across all the devices and different user roles that they need to manage, and then roll that out through the organization. It's a lot of heavy lifting, and what we've really tried to make possible is a couple of different ways of thinking about a Windows rollout. The first is support for in-place upgrades. If the user already has a working image with the correct configuration, just let them upgrade in place and get the latest updates to Windows that will continue to take advantage of the configuration that's already running on the machine. The second idea is around dynamic provisioning, where a user could take a fairly generic sort of scratch machine, perhaps one of these Surface Books, get it from the Microsoft Store, bring it home and log into Active Directory and actually have it download the configuration and provisioning information such they can be up and running and productive. Brad, why don't you give us a look at these couple of core technologies on around how deployment works?
So now I want to talk about dynamic provisioning. Now, if we think about a scenario here, maybe a user's out traveling, they've got a device, they're out working, and they drop the device, shatter the screen, break the device. What do they do? Well, today they pick up the phone, they call the company, company takes, possibly ships them a device out of their pool, or they could go to the store and buy one, but it's not going to be set up for the VPN, it's not going to have any of the company software on it or the apps. With what we call dynamic provisioning, we can help solve that problem. So what I've got here is I've got a brand new machine, right? I dropped my machine, I lost it. I've gone to my local electronics store and I've bought a new machine. And you can see I'm coming through the out-of-box experience, that UBI experience. And you can see it's got a screen in here. It says, who owns this PC? I'm going to tell it my organization owns it, since this is going to be a company machine. And it'll take a second and it'll ask me, how do I want to connect? I'm going to tell it I want to join with my Azure AD credentials. So I'll go ahead and I'll do that. And I'm actually going to take and I'm going to log into this machine with my Microsoft account, because we have set this up and we were able to use this here at Microsoft. So when I put in my Microsoft account, you see that it will take and redirect me to my organization sign-in machine. Now, every time I come in, I see this screen from Microsoft IT, very familiar for me. So I'll go ahead and I'll put in my password here, and I'll hit sign in. Now, at Microsoft, we use a two-factor authentication for everything. So in this case, I'm going to tell it to sign in from my phone. And when I do this, you see it's going to make a phone call here to my cell phone to verify who I am, and I can go through that voice prompt. So I'll go ahead, I'll answer my phone.
Thank you for using Microsoft sign-in verification system. Please enter your PIN followed by the pound key.
And I can go ahead, I can put in my PIN here.
Your sign-in was successfully
You see,
verified.
As soon as I'm successfully verified there, it goes and it continues through that login process. And you see it here while it says, please wait while we set up your device. At this point, what it's doing here is it's going out, it's connecting up to the Microsoft Intune instance that we use here at Microsoft. It's making those connections. It's pulling down settings that Microsoft IT wants me to have. It's pushing down my VPN. It's pushing down policies. It's pushing down applications, etc., for me. And you can see then, once I'm ready to go, here I am, and I'm able to take and log in. I can also use Azure AD, and with Azure Active Directory, I can take and roam my settings for work through my corporate instance. And so as I do that, when I log in, I could have my personal background, I could have my lock screens, all of those other settings. So now what you've seen me do right here is take a brand new machine right out of the box, and by simply logging in with my corporate credentials, using two-factor authentication to make sure it is actually me doing this, this machine has been set up and through Azure AD has been now set up and connected to the corporate network. Azure AD joined, settings I need, apps I need, pushed down for me, and ready to go. Much, much easier way for users when they're traveling or doing some other things to get back up on the road, get productive, without having to call IT, without having to wait for a new machine to arrive. Thank you very much for your time. Now back to you, Rob.
Now let's turn and talk about management. And here, it's a really important thing for you as enterprise IT to know that you can deliver Windows in a great way to your users. You want to make sure that your users, I guess you could call it your users' uptime, is guaranteed as much as possible, that they are productive and working hard and not hung up on the machine or the operating system or the software. But you need to be able to do that for your organization in a cost-effective way. And so we've been thinking about how to deliver better uptime for users combined with great total cost of ownership. And those are the investments that we've brought to bear here. The first of those is to really take head-on this notion that every deployment of Windows has to be a wipe and replace. And so we've been thinking deeply about how can we make sure that you can take advantage of, I've got a great machine, the user's already running, I would just like to upgrade them to the latest, and let's make that possible through in-place upgrades. And that way, we know that the configuration is set up correctly for the user. Second idea here is dynamic provisioning, which is this idea that I could take a fairly generic out-of-the-box machine, like my Surface Book picked up from the store, I could log into Azure Active Directory, and it would then know the correct configuration of my machine, my organizational resources, and again, even if I'm on the road, I could be off and running and be productive working on my resources. But all of this is really underpinned by the notion of application compatibility, because the important thing is not just that you can log into Windows and use the machine, but you can use all the applications that matter to the organization. And so Windows 10 is the most compatible release of Windows that we've ever delivered. And we have seen, not only through working with enterprises and pilot deployments, but also in the breadth of consumer deployment, those 200 million devices, that we've really had great success in ensuring that people can be relatively confident in the notion that their applications will run when they upgrade to the next version of Windows, and they'll be off and running, which is really what we want to see, again, users being productive. Taking that forward, we wanted to make sure that people and organizations could have a simpler way of thinking about how they would manage those devices. We have great tools in the form of SECM and group policy that organizations have relied on for years, but for organizations that are using MDM, mobile device management, we wanted to make it easy for their Windows devices to fit into that framework as well. And so we've done a lot of work to really make sure that Windows 10 shows up inside of MDM platforms and that this is a viable, useful, great tool for managing Windows 10 inside of your organization. And as we bring that all together, we think about what is Windows 10 for? Where are we going with it? And we really do believe that Windows 10 is not only the best way to be productive and brings all of that device innovation to bear, but it really is a great tool for helping organizations think about a mobile and cloud-first world through things like joining up to Azure Active Directory is a simple way to get a user started and signed into a machine, making sure that we have support for things like Universal Apps for Windows, where you can build on the same app platform across all of the form factors from phone to laptop to desktop to Surface Hub. And finally, that we help build a store that helps organizations deploy and manage new applications that they build, where they can pick applications out of the consumer store, and that they can also pull in their own custom applications and deploy those through a unified store that makes it easy for their users to install and customize what they need the most. We bring this together by thinking about it as Windows as a service. And a lot of that is about making sure that users are up to date, that they have a great current running version of Windows that has all the latest and greatest capabilities, but also that it is backed up by what it means to be a modern cloud. And so you saw some of that as we talked about how people think about safety, how they think about management, and this really does show up as Windows becoming part of the most modern and most capable operating system any could use for connecting to their cloud and for taking advantage of their productivity on their modern device. With that, thank you very much for your time. I'd like to spend 2 seconds on how you can get going. The first is try it out. If you haven't tried out Windows 10, please download it, install it, and play around with it. It's a delightful experience, and I'd love for you to get that experience. The second thing is start a pilot in your organization. It's relatively easy to do, and it'll give you the opportunity to really get a feel for how does Windows 10 play in your network environment, how does it work with the applications that you deployed, how can new features like Windows Hello be of advantage to you. And then finally, because of Windows as a service, we have a great platform for keeping you up to date on what's coming. And so please join the Windows Insider Preview. This will be a great way for you to stay up to date on new capabilities, to see them coming, and again, to understand how they might impact your organization, to make sure that your users are ultimately the most productive, and that you guarantee all of their uptime as your organization moves forward with Windows. Thank you very much for your time.